the Public News Service Daily Newscast for June the 6th, 2023. I'm Mike Clifford. Indiana ranks closer to the bottom of the U.S. states where you'll find healthy seniors living than the top. That's according to a new report.
United Healthcare's 2023 Senior Report provides a portrait of health and well-being of older adults across the United States. The report marks the second consecutive year for the Hoosier State to rank at 35th. Only nine states fare worse than Indiana for early death. Chief Medical Officer with United Healthcare, Rhonda Randall, says the premature death rate, which means years lost before age 75, has increased 4% in the nation.
The percentage of people over the age of 65 has had a decline because of that. We still have more people turning 65 and having that birthday into their Medicare years. But it's concerning that we're losing such a significant amount of our nation's greatest treasure, right, our seniors.
Randall says the report consists of 52 different measures of senior health across five different categories, which include socioeconomic factors, the physical environment where seniors live, the clinical care received, plus behaviors and health outcomes. I'm Joe Allery reporting.
That same report finds the healthiest states for older adults are Utah, New Hampshire, Colorado, Minnesota, and Vermont. Now for the Miami Herald, a Texas Sheriff's Department recommends the DA there in Bexar County bring criminal charges over Ron DeSantis' so-called migrant relocation program. According to the Herald, the sheriff completed the criminal investigation into the on-the-ground operations that allegedly lured migrants onto the flights with the false promises of jobs and opportunities on the other end. And a court hearing next week would help determine whether an eastern South Dakota mayor will face a recall election.
The legal wrangling surrounding a possible recall vote concerns the mayor of Baltic, with the next hearing scheduled for June 15th. Joshua Spivak is an author and expert on recall elections. He says because South Dakota law prevents statewide office holders from being recalled, it has set a tone where even local leaders have rarely faced that situation. But he says residents and activist groups are showing a lot of interest in statewide ballot initiatives.
Voters liked us, and it's not a conservative and it's not a liberal position to like direct democracy.
Spivak says several proposed statewide ballot questions are already being set up for the 2024 election. It follows high-profile questions put before South Dakota voters in recent years. Those who support such moves worry about what they call citizen lawmakers working around the legislature. I'm Mike Moen.
This is Public News Service. And in case you didn't know, this is National Safety Month, Congress being urged to take swift action to pass the Rail Safety Act of 2023.
The measure aims to prevent future disastrous train derailments, such as the most recent East Palestine, Ohio, and the Maryville, Tennessee derailment in 2015. Brittany Kohler is Legislative Director for Transportation and Infrastructure at the National League of Cities. She says the Railway Safety Act is about stopping the continuous cycle of train wrecks, often with hazardous material on board, that put the health and safety of communities at risk.
We need to reevaluate rail safety and ensure that we are keeping up with the modernizations that are needed. And what we can do together is pass this bill and continue to work on rail safety.
The bill would require state emergency personnel to be notified of what chemicals are on board train cars coming through their communities. For Public News Service, I'm Danielle Smith.
Now an update on a ranch that sits in a dramatic canyon in the foothills of the Southern Colorado's San Juan Mountains, right next to the Rio Grande National Forest.
Purchased in 1962 on a school bus driver's salary, Josie Rebal Abeta's parents left the 821-acre parcel to their six daughters in 2005. Abeta says she was determined to keep the land the way her father had kept it, but four of her sisters wanted to sell the property, considered extremely valuable to area developers.
And two of us did not. And I had heard about a conservation easement where you could still keep the property. The owners would get paid to keep it the way it was, and I thought that was a win-win situation for everyone.
But Abeta found the right formula working with the Rio Grande Headwaters Land Trust, and the easement was finally completed last year. I'm Eric Galatas.
Finally, Edward J. Vieira lets us know Virginia environmental advocates are not happy with the U.S. Supreme Court's recent decision on the Clean Water Act.
In his opinion, Justice Samuel Alito described those wetlands as having continuous surface connection to waters of the United States. Dr. Wally Smith with the Clinch Coalition says legal debate over these wetlands has gone on for some time. He feels these non-contiguous wetlands are much needed to help areas fight off ever-worsening storms.
If you have things like storm events that produce a lot of runoff that might otherwise make its way into a river, those wetlands can help filter out some of the pollutants that might otherwise make it downstream. And they can also capture a lot of that runoff and slow its flow to essentially buffer against things like flood impacts in those downstream waterways.
This is Mike Clifford for Public News Service, member and listener supported. Here's an interesting radio stations, your favorite podcast platform. Find our trust indicators at publicnewsservice.org.